Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 4466. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Deuteronomy 8 verses 2 to 16 and 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 to 17. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Corpus Christi.
Old Testament readings were taken from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 from 2 to verse 16.
Remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, assessing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand and that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The clothes on your back did not wear out, and your feet did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a parent disciplines the child, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Therefore, keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways, by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God with the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herd and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made waters flow from you from flint rock, and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And thank you, Andy, for doing our New Testament reading.
Right. The New Testament reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 17. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. But they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and then they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as do sensible. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, and we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread.
Thank you very much, Andy. So sometimes it's a bit difficult to link both passages, but here it's quite obvious. Paul is referring back to that episode in the life of Israel when they went from being slave in Egypt, going through the Jordan and into the Promised Land, but they got stuck for 40 years in the desert because they hadn't trusted the promises and trusted that God was able to deliver them from the enemy that were part of that land at the time. If you remember the story, 12 spies were sent. When they came back, the majority, interestingly, and we can think about whether the majority is always right, and we realize that sometimes democracy doesn't work, because 10 of them says, we shouldn't go, it's too dangerous and too difficult, and two were said, we should go because God has promised and he will be with us. And but because they listened to the 10, and they were stuck for 40 years. But reminding ourselves as we celebrate Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, and communion, and the centrality of that part of our service on our Sunday, when we take Holy Communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, it has different words and different, it's named in different ways in different churches. But at the heart was that story of the Exodus. The bread was unleavened. That means it didn't have time to rise, and that's because they were in a hurry. They had to pack up very quickly and leave everything behind. And God was with them in the presence of a column of fire during the day and clouds, fire during the night and clouds during the day. And the cup was the cup of deliverance. And so the whole symbolism, and there is more to the meal, but the whole symbolism was about leaving behind slavery and that reality of living under this power of Egypt, and entering the Promised Land and a new life, a new life of freedom. And here it speaks of a good life in the Old Testament, that things will get so good to them that they will be in danger of forgetting God. I wonder whether that's partly what we're suffering in the Western world, what we've forgotten, the roots, the Christian roots, that in a sense delivered us from the dominion of Rome's and the collapse of a whole empire that was very oppressive, and that led to a time, not a perfect time, but a time of growth of the Christian faith throughout Europe, throughout the Western world, and then throughout the world, and the growth of science that was part of an understanding of an orderly world created by a God who is a rational God. And so the whole enterprise of science is based on the faith of the Judaism and Christianity. But then we grow and maybe became like Israel's, comfortable with lots of good things, and became maybe proud and forgot God, forgot the sources. And that's what happened to the Israelites. It's always easier, I think, to be close to God when it's difficult and challenging than when maybe we're comfortable. So Paul, in his own time, warns the Christian in Corinth not to become idolaters, which is, again, to put your trust in the wrong places. And he speaks of three areas: the misuse of our bodies, sexual immorality, arrogance, which is to put God to test, or put God to Christ to test, and complaints, being ungrateful or complaining about our situation, often in the context of the churches, is complaining about the leadership and believing and making life difficult. So Paul warns them because that was what they were experiencing at Corinth, and the danger that was for them. And reminding them that the Old Testament was an example and a warning to all of us. We will be tested, but God is faithful. And whatever the test we are facing, maybe today, it's never beyond our strength. And the testing is a time for us to come closer to God and to trust his faithfulness, that we will be able to endure it. So he speaks about putting Jesus at the heart and at the center of all we do. And when we go to communion, it's not because we believe there is some kind of magic in it, but because we remember of a historical events that changed the world, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has made a way for us to be reconciled, to be moved from the slavery, not a physical slavery of a country, but the slavery of all that make us stuck and unable to follow God, slavery of sin and death, and brought us into a new country, a new place where we can find strength and guidance and comfort and protection and growth through the help of God and with the presence of Jesus. So maybe as we have our next communion, whether it's this coming Sunday or whether you have communion this week in another settings, to remind ourselves of the great promise of freedom and to be aware of our call to use our bodies in a way that reflects God's purposes, to be aware of the danger of being arrogant, testing our Lord, and to be aware of the danger of our complaints or gossiping or a lack of generosity and gratitude. And we shouldn't that to be in a way that we should feel guilty, but encouraged to grow a spirit of gratitude today, to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, despite the test and the challenges, to know that God is with us and that in Christ we are his sons and daughters, dearly beloved and empowered to make a difference in our world today. That's was one of my reflection for those, but there might be something that sprang in those passages yourself that was an encouragement or a question or a challenge.
That was an excellent sum up, Fabian. I just want to say, in the Old Testament, that two points that called out to me were that in 40 years their clothes didn't wear out or their shoes didn't wear out.
Yeah, indeed. The grace of God, despite the people having mistrust and rebelled God. Even I think it says, even when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. And he's still gracious.
Well, yeah, looking at now, this, their feet did not swell these 40 years.
I think it's him.
I was reflecting on the passage in the New Testament where Paul says, God will not allow you to be tested beyond your strength. He is faithful. And with the testing, he will provide you the way out so that you may endure your testing. And it struck me that, you know, this is yet another example of the gospel. The gospel is actually one thing. And so I'd like to, you know, in our talk this morning, just pray for those members of our community at St. James who are being tested at the moment. That perhaps we know about, but in many ways, probably people are being tested in ways that we don't know about. And so, Lord, thank you that you will be with them and help. And for those who don't yet know you, Lord, we pray for them. We will be able to explain family, people we meet, that God does love them and he was beside them in their struggles. So may this be an opportunity for us all, Lord, to explain the gospel in that way.
All through the Bible, there's passages where he reminds us to trust him, you know, through the writings. And you haven't got to look too far where he's calling us to trust him, put our trust in him. And when you put your trust in him, then he gives you a peace that is indescribable. You can't, it's a different sort of peace. We've all experienced it, I'm sure. But I absolutely, what you're saying, Andy, just give us the words to be able to share that experience of his love to folk who haven't met him yet. And that is a challenge, isn't it? But I think it was achieved at the funeral I went to of Maddie. I think it went a long way. For it was such a full church, and a crematorium, should I say. It was so full to overflowing, and the message throughout was celebration of a short life, but well-lived life, and hope for the future, for Maddie was a Christian. And that just spoke volumes in all the sadness of it. She did speak. Her faith spoke, and it must have touched the youngsters that were there. To sort of try to put some understanding to the whys and the wherefores, of which we never will understand until we go to heaven ourselves. But that's what I came away with, that although whatever the reason was, she was taken. Her faith shone through, and a testament to her grandparents who took her to church from a very young age. And she would stand and read the Bible, Maddie, this is, take the readings in church. So if ever there was a testimony of faith, there wasn't a stronger one there than on Tuesday. So may she rest in peace and rise in glory.
I think those words kind of resonate with what you said. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. So with that assurance that we belong to God, that he knows us by name, let's pray. In a world often that feels fearful, just read this morning of the continuous fear of escalation between Israel and Iran, constant fear and messages of the devastating power of nuclear weapon, the fears that must be constant in areas of conflict when they might think, when is the time when the bomb will be just close and so close that it might take us? But also the fears that are much closer, as we heard, fears of losing a job, of not having enough money to make ends meet, and the fear of parents and parenting and the reality of mental health and all the challenges that our young generations are facing. And our own desire to be a witness of the hope we have found in you. Some of our fears to not knowing how to share it. Lord, it is really in prayers that we can find your strength and your peace. You said, do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, with prayer, intercession, supplication, but also thanksgiving, to bring our request to you. And that the peace, that wholeness, that reality of knowing that you are with us, that surpasses all understanding, will fill our minds and hearts.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.